Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Ha, I take my shirt off. Ha, work all day, hustle and pray. Got nowhere to go. Got to catch my sugar, my plantain sugar, my plantain sugar, my plantain sugar. Ah, plantain, 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 plantain.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Shirtless Plantain Show. I'm your host, Tosin. As always, besides me is Dean. Dean, how you doing today?
I am quite well, thank you. How are you, brother?
Besides the heat, I'm good. It's what it is.
Besides the heat, yeah. We're not the only ones suffering from the heat. All these foreigners that are in our country not getting deported, supporting their soccer teams, letting off flares, they too are feeling the heat, you know, so... It's nice for them to get a preview before they come back next summer, you know.
Yeah, so. Next summer's gonna be even worse.
Probably. Yeah.
Shout out to climate change.
Yes, it only gets worse. It only gets worse.
Yeah. We'll talk about some Gold Cup. We are some sickos over here. We actually love to watch everything we said we're not going to, but guess what? We lied. What are you gonna do? Beat us up? You're not going to. But yeah, first of all, shout out to Panama. They beat Guatemala 1-0. Curacao, they got a late equalizer against Canada, and it was a really good finish. He opened up his hips, and I was like, wow, that is a really good finish.
Yeah, I'm thinking, wow, why are you talking about this nigga's hips? What's wrong with you?
Shakira told me about it a long time ago.
What kind of volcanic activity is that? Relax, I beg. Please.
It's still Pride Month. Got to show support to my people.
Hey, man, we bombing motherfuckers right now, man. Fuck all that shit. Like, come on now. Shit.
Terrible time to be alive, man. Speaking of bombing, USA, they won and they qualify for the next round. So
yeah. Like, I think since the last time we were on this show, because, you know, we have a slightly lighter schedule than usual. It is the summer. We're doing our best, but we too want to go outside and be hoes in this hot ass weather. So forgive us. But in the time since we last recorded, the U.S. beat Saudi Arabia 1-0. Nice goal from Chris Richards from a set piece. And in the second game, which happened on Sunday, they beat Haiti 2-1. And Malik Tillman had a fantastic game. I thought his finishing was a little inefficient. I thought he was a little, the timing of his runs was a little off. But that is an elite talent. That's a guy that's definitely going to be on the, well, not really on the plane, but you know what I mean when I say he will be in the lineup for the U.S. next summer. That's for sure.
Yeah. And one more thing. Chris Richards scored on Juneteenth. He's had one hell of a year. So shout out to him. Alabama's finest. Indeed. Win the FA Cup on top.
Yeah. He's having a good year. Got to keep that momentum going, bro.
For sure. So shout out to them. And your boy scored the winner for USA.
Nah, man. That's not my boy. I'm not claiming no Ghanaians. I'm just glad he managed to do something, because he's such a frustrating watch. Like, I understand why he got called up. I understand why Charlotte fans in MLS think he's the shit, but that is not my kind of player, man. Like, he's just lanky. He's always falling down and shit. Like, I'm not into it, man. He got to show me something else. I'm not into it. But good for him getting the winner in this game. Maybe this will build his confidence up for the rest of the tournament. And we're talking about Patrick Aguemang. Like, I'm just not a fan. I'm not. He's not my kind of guy. Hey, he's like Nicholas Jackson with less balance. That's what he is.
Hey, listen, Nicholas Jackson has a mohawk that he cut himself. So he cut with a cutlass, actually.
Hey, man, if he cut that shit by himself with a cutlass, given the way it looks, that's better than him paying someone to do it. So good on him for practicing fiscal responsibility on, like, American politicians. So yeah, there's that.
Mexico, Costa Rica. The biggest thing I take away from this is that Mexico got some beautiful gowns. That black kit is amazing.
You know what? I have a thought about that. The black kit is amazing. However, the numbers on the back, the font. This is a very specific jersey nerd thing, you know. I mean, from the guys who brought you their own jersey that we haven't followed up on for some time. You make no promises. Life is hard. But the font on the jersey just doesn't do it for me, man. Like, they put those numbers on the back, and I was like, I'm not gonna say it ruins the jersey for me. It's still a very nice jersey, but if I were to cop, I'm definitely not getting a number on the back. You know, I never get numbers on the back of jerseys anyway, but I would definitely not get it if that's the official number they're putting on. It's just not cute to me, man. That shit is gross.
I haven't seen a good green Mexican can in a while, though.
You might be right on that. You might be right on that. But, I mean, it doesn't take long. Adidas will sort something out pretty quickly, I think.
Yeah. You know? Apparently, they're going to remake the 98 kit. You know, the one with the skulls?
With the pattern?
Yeah. Apparently, that's what they're going to do for the World Cup.
Well, I guess, you know, we're rebooting everything, so we might as well reboot some kits.
Might as well. Saudi Arabia and Trinidad and Tobago was 1-1. You know, is Saudi the host nation at this tournament?
No, they're the guest nation. Like, there's... I don't know if it's always, but there's usually a guest nation from a different confederation at the Gold Cup. And some years they do great. Some years they go out in the first round. Saudi have actually qualified for the next round. So credit to them. They definitely deserved the results in this game. They probably deserve to win, if I'm being honest. I saw Trinidad and Tobago were on the ropes for a lot of this game. But Saudi did well in general.
But Trinidad and Tobago's goal was really good. Like, really good.
I can't, like, even in the summer, I'm watching so much football that I'm forgetting things.
Hey, listen, it was a shot from outside the box, hit top bins. I was like, ooh, that's nasty.
Yeah, can't get mad at that. Like, yeah. we love a distant shot. You know,
it's one of those things that Dwight York would have scored in his prime, actually. It was
Dwight York wasn't a big outside the box guy.
He wasn't, but it was the type of goal that if he had, he would have. But, you know, I mean, that worked. He was also inside the box, so that's a double entendre. Anyways, Club World Cup, let's move along. All the Brazilian teams were undefeated until today, but Botafogo still are going through. But let's talk about some of the results before we even recorded. Palmeiras beat Al-Ahly 2-0, which was, you know.
Yeah, you can't. Tosin, if you mispronounce another African name on this pod, it's beef. I'm going to just let you know right now. I'm not having it. Do not do that. Do it to the crackers. Again. Don't do it to our people. Do it to the crackers if you want to.
I'm going to do it again.
Al-Ahly. Don't do that shit, man. Get it right. You can do this. Okay?
Palmeiras beat Al-Ahly.
You got to take the jersey off.
Palmeiras beat Al-Ahly 2-0.
Thank you.
And there we go. How do you feel about that game?
Not that. I mean, like, really, this is just more about the overall trend. I mean, like, the Brazilian teams, like you said, until today, they hadn't lost any games. You know, I think they had up until today. Today being Monday is when we're recording. Up until today, I think they'd played 6 games in total, the Brazilian teams, and they'd won, I believe, 4 of them and drawn 2, which is pretty impressive because I don't think anyone expected the Brazilian teams to be the best teams in the tournament. But given the way they've performed so far, it's no surprise that they beat Al-Ahly, and it's also not a surprise that Al-Ahly didn't score in this game because we saw how terrible they were against Inter Miami the other day, where they should have won that game going away, and they just missed everything. It was ridiculous, you know. Shout out Palmeiras, man. They got Gabi Jesus training at their very nice facilities right now, so them my people.
PSG lost to Botafogo 1-0. Botafogo, they're giving everybody hands and feet, literally and figuratively.
Yeah. Like Luis Enrique gave them a lot of credit after the game. I don't know if he's just in a very generous mood, given that it's the summer and he's in America on vacation, walking around barefoot on training pitches and shit. But he said they were the best defense that PSG have faced this year. And I'm taking that as a personal insult because my team could have ruined their treble. You know, just a couple margins here and there. Shake went the other way. Now you've given compliments to Botafogo. Okay. All right. I see how it is.
Yeah.
All right.
Chelsea lost to Flamengo 3-1. A callback, because we mentioned this earlier. Nicholas Jackson he got a red card exactly the way his hair looks.
Man, like, on one hand, I felt bad because it didn't look intentional. It was dangerous, but it didn't look intentional. You know, he just shouldn't have been moving that way. But at the same time, I think if you just watch the play again, you can tell that he wasn't trying to hurt the guy or anything like that. It just happened. But then he put out that apology after the game where he was like, he doesn't know how it happened. And it's like, bro, you have so many priors that you just need to shut up. Just shut up and do better, you know. But it doesn't matter because he's probably moving to the left wing or some shit if Pedro Neto doesn't stop scoring. Or if Pedro Neto finally stops scoring goals this summer, maybe Nicholas Jackson can get minutes on one of the wings. Because to me, he's always been a wide player.
Yeah.
They just kind of repurposed him as a striker the last 2 seasons. And it works when it works, but for the most part, it's not really for me. I just don't think he has the instincts as a scorer, and they now have Dilap. And I'm sure, being that it's Chelsea, they'll probably find another striker to bring in before the window's closed. you know. So yeah, rooting for them, but fuck all the Nicholas Jackson shit. The memes and the global hate watching that was going on. Like I know we were supposed to hate Chelsea because we're human and we do, but I didn't realize just how much people were gonna get behind Flamengo during this game. Like it was crazy, man. Like, and they deserve the props, bro. Like Jorginho dominated how much that midfield cost at Chelsea?
Yes.
5 billion? Like he dominated them. This motherfucker is 52 years old. Like that was impressive to me. And he just got there the other day. Like they literally just got him before the tournament. He barely trained with them and dominated Chelsea's midfield. So credit to Flamengo, man.
And they look hungry. So shout out to Felipe Luis. He's doing a great job over there.
Yeah, maybe that's the bigger trend. And I guess we should talk about that after we talk about a couple more of the results. But yeah, you said hungry, you know. So
yeah, you know,
we'll talk about it in a second here.
Yeah, Fluminense, another team. They beat Usan HD 4-2. Excuse me. They came back from behind to beat them. And again, the trend is Brazilian teams, man. They're just putting hands on feet on people, man. I'm really impressed. I love it. I love it so much.
Yeah, John Arias scored, I would say, the best free kick of the tournament so far. I think it just, you know, the Messi one was nice. The Claudio Echeverri one was nice as well. But, man, you know, when you see that full power, Chale, you know, like full power, you know, like great goal.
You know what John Arias looks like? He looks like a character from a Street Fighter.
Like the one that looked like Nicholas Jackson.
No, he looks like someone like Jean-Claude Van Damme will be fighting with alongside. They'll be tag teaming together.
He looked like Jax from Mortal Kombat. That's what
he meant. Yeah. just a strong nigga. I mean,
the goal looked like he looked. That's a strong ass goal by a strong. He remember of Hulk, like the goals Hulk used to score back in the day. Just boom, tap in for Hulk is boom, free kick, boom. Everything is boom with that motherfucker, man.
My favorite thing with Brazilians, the way they call his name is not even Hulk, it's Hulky.
Hulky smash.
Yeah, that's what they call him. Botafogo did lose to Atletico Madrid today. But because Atletico Madrid not scored more than two goals, they're out. And Botafogo qualifies and PSG wins the group. So goodbye, Diego Simeone.
We love to see it. I think low-key, I was reading some of the tweets on the evil place after this game, and a lot of the Atleti fans were coping hard. And I get it. They were just like, you know what, man? It's time to rest, man. Like, we need to prepare for next season. And that's the right attitude to take. Like, until this tournament becomes a thing for real, you can't take it too seriously, man. I'm sorry. Like, if you're Brazilian, you can do whatever you want.
That's what the trend is. The trend is South American teams are just turning up. That's the...
Yeah. I think it's... Yeah, I think on one level there's intrinsic motivation, because even though a lot of us have grown up in an era where European football has been the dominant force in the sport, it wasn't always like that.
No.
Like Pelé never played in Europe, but he was also universally seen as the best player in the world during most of his career.
He wasn't allowed to leave.
Right. He wasn't allowed to leave, but the leagues were also better at the time. I think it wasn't until the late 80s that Europe kind of pulled away with all the broadcasting contracts and all that stuff. And as a result, a lot of the best South American players, I mean, we all watch the same football. These guys, Vinicius went to Real Madrid when he was a teenager. You know, like they don't even get to play that much at home before they leave for Europe to go, you know, play for the big teams. You know, so as a result, there's been a big talent drain over the last 2-3 decades. And, you know, you see it in the football. It's a little slower. It's a little different. Every time I watch it, it's just a different kind of football. It's still a very entertaining and enjoyable, passionate football to watch. But it's just a slightly, to me, a lower level of the sport. So I didn't expect them to be this good in this tournament. And I think they're just taking it a little more seriously. And they're in a different, I think they're in a different stage in their season. I think they're sort of mid-season. Meanwhile, the Europeans are at the end of their seasons. A lot of them are dead on their feet. So I can't even imagine like Arsenal being in this thing right now, man. I'd be protest not watching this shit, you know, because people were dead on their feet by the end of the season, you know. So that stuff matters. And I've seen the argument from a couple of the managers and players in press conferences about the weather, talking about how the South Americans are a little more used to this kind of heat versus Europeans. I don't know how true that is. I've had some pretty hot days in London and Amsterdam myself, but sure, we can go with it. But shout out Brazil, man. I'm just glad to see one of the spiritual homes of the game, you know, not embarrassing themselves. I think it's a good thing for the sport.
I'm going to double down on a few of your points. So back to the Brazilian league being one of the best leagues. Do you remember the 1981 International Cup?
No, I do not, because I wasn't fucking alive, nigga. What the fuck?
The reason why I bring that up is at that time, Liverpool won the best teams in the world, right? They played against Flamengo, and they lost 3-0. And Zico was just dancing on their head.
Yeah.
You know? And it goes back to what we say all the time. They're like,
did your dad jerk it to that or something? Like, is that what you know about the game?
No. Actually, my dad's a Liverpool fan. He actually hated that game, actually. But that's not the reason I brought it up. I brought up to double back your point on the fact that, like, the Brazilian league was once that league. Like, it literally was, like, full of just ballers and talented players. Zico didn't really need to come to Europe. Diego Maradona didn't really need to leave, but he did, nonetheless. And to your point about Brazilian talent, there's one that's going to blow your mind. Robson Jr. Do you know who his father is? Robinho.
I figured.
Robinho's 17-year-old kid apparently is, like, one of the prodigies at Santos. He's, like, really good with Neymar. Like, Neymar's his idol, obviously. They've given him therapy because of what, you know, his dad's obviously convicted rapist in jail now. And they're giving the boy therapy. He's not on social like that. So, yeah.
I guess I'm interested as to why they're calling him Robson Jr. Like, why can't they just call him Robinho? Huh?
They call him Juninho.
Ho-ho for short, you know.
They call him Juninho.
But they call him what? Juninho?
Yeah.
What do they call him?
They call his name is Robson Jr., but Robson his nickname Jr. is Junior Juninho. Juninho, yeah.
So it's Juninho then? Because he's a junior?
I guess so. Huh, I don't know how to do shit down in Brazil, man. I don't speak Portuguese.
Hey, man, I don't need the details. I just need the facts. Thank you. We can move on now.
So now the European teams are waking up in the tournament. Atletico Madrid beat Seattle Sounders today.
That was before the weekend, I think.
Yeah, 3-1. Griezmann scored today, but he got a little love from his idol. One of the guys in Seattle Sounders loved Griezmann. So
yeah, big Obed Vargas plays for Seattle Sounders. He grew up in Alaska. I didn't even know they allowed them to play football in Alaska. It's so fucking cold. But his idol is Antoine Griezmann. He's a big Atletico Madrid fan, and there was a really cute clip of them meeting each other for the first time on camera. And just exchanging pleasantries, and it warmed my dark heart, you know, I gotta say. You know, I typically don't care about this kind of shit, you know. Go back to Patrick Aguiman. But, you know, this one got me. This one got me for sure, you know.
Do you like when Thierry Henry ran up on when the guy scored against USA and he runs with Thierry?
Not really. It felt a little forced.
Okay.
It felt a little forced. I don't know what Thierry Henry's connection is to your country, my brother. Like, just... Just do your knee slide and get back to the center circle, bitch.
Bayern Munich beat Boca Juniors 2-1. This game was actually fun because Boca Juniors was giving it to them. They were actually giving it to them.
That's not what happened. Now you're making shit up.
Like, I wouldn't say they were giving it to them, but they held their own for a little bit. They held their own.
They played. They were there. They were passionate. There wasn't a lot of football there. I didn't like it. I didn't enjoy watching them. They just sat back, tried to break a lot, didn't really break much. But when they did break... Take it away.
Hey, listen, they had a really, really good goddamn goal. Jonathan Tah has about 50 pace on FIFA. That's all I can say.
Yeah, man, that Merentiel goal was quite lovely. Not my choice for the best goal of the tournament so far, but it's a contender. Really nice solo effort. He really only beat two guys, but I think the standout sort of quality of the goal was how far away from the other goal he was, from Manuel Neuer's goal he was when he picked up the ball and started running with it. It reminded me a lot of, there was a goal Claudio Canigia scored in one of the, I think in the 1990 World Cup or some shit that really reminded me of this Merentiel goal. It was just a lovely goal. And you know what? Regardless of what we think about this tournament, I want to give a shout out to the Boca fans. They had that stadium jumping. Like, Bayern were giving it to them. That's what was happening. Michael Olise was playing a masterclass, per usual. Pretty normal for him at this point. But the way the Boca fans were so into the game, you know, which is pretty normal at La Bombonera down there. You know, them bringing that here to the States and us watching it at 8 p.m. at night. This shit was nice, man. It was real nice to, you know, I wish we could get atmospheres like that more here in the States. I'd probably go to more games if the fans in Houston were like that, even despite the heat, but it's not like that. So I'd be in the house where it's air-conditioned.
The funny thing is you see the Boca fans like crying when they scored. Like, I loved it. I was like, yo, these guys are insane.
It's too much, man. It's too much. I saw a clip of like some older Boca fans after Olise had scored the winner. And there was a young kid. He couldn't have been more than 15 years old. He was in a Bayern jersey and he was giving it to them. And there was one older gentleman, Boca fan, that just kind of smiled at it, you know, like, you know, because that's what you do. You know, you get that. Okay, this is, it's all fun. Yeah. And there's another Boca fan right next to him, about the same age, gray hair, cursing this kid out, threatening him in a language that kid almost certainly does not understand. And I'm just like, you know, balance.
By the way, on Michael Olise, I love him so much. Michael Olise.
He's the best. He's the best.
He's truly like everything that we've wanted for football players in a long time.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I'd heard that before he left for Bayern, he'd actually met the folks at Arsenal, and they didn't like him, and he didn't like them, so he moved on. You know, and it kind of makes sense that he ended up in Germany just based on his personality. I feel like he actually suits that country, which is strange because you wouldn't expect that from a player with his background, because he's from everywhere except Germany.
Yeah.
Well, because he moves away.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
He moves, gives those monotone answers. He kind of fits that culture a little bit, and I just love that he pulled up to Bayern. And, you know, unfortunately, Musiala hasn't been the healthiest over the last year, and that's a factor in this. But Olise has just kind of become the man. Like, throughout the season, they just kind of gave him the ball. Like, you figure it out. And more often than not, he did.
And the crazy thing is, he's their DJ in training. Yeah, he Michael Olise picks all the music for Bayern Munich training. So, like, they listen to Lil Baby and all the nigga shit.
That is.
Yo, I really want. In fact, I'm gonna tell our editor to find to juxtapose this. I want everybody to see the nigga shit that Michael Olise does. Got this kid with locks in Germany, just walking around with a big JBL speaker.
Listen, man. I think really this is why they got rid of Thomas Müller, because at some point he was gonna lose his fucking mind and assault Michael Olise for this shit. You know, so it all worked out in the end.
Inter beat Urawa Reds 2-1. They came back from 1-0 down. Lautaro Martinez scored an overhead kick in the late Carboni winner. Inter got all 3 points and eliminated the Japanese team. But the biggest takeaway I take from this game is the Inter skits are nice. That's
beautiful. I'm a big fan. I think there's only so many things you can do with stripes. And Nike have played with Inter stripes quite a bit over the last couple seasons. Sometimes it's worked out well. I thought the zigzag joints that they had when they won the league with Lukaku was fantastic. But the one from last season was fucking shit. Hated that.
That's why they didn't win anything.
Probably not. You know, they didn't win nothing. But this one, I just really love how clever it is, because basically the stripes spell out Inter. They just kind of stretch the letters out. And that's kind of clever. And I love that they used, light blue as the accent color. I don't think there's ever been an Inter kit like that. So that stands out as well. So I'll probably get that. You will see me wearing that on this show in another couple weeks. You know?
I respect it. South African team. I'm not going to pronounce their name because I don't
know. My Mamelodi Sundowns.
There you go.
3. Dortmund 4.
I have beef with South Africa.
You know what? I ain't even going to beef you on that one because fuck them.
Again, another beautiful kit. And it's because of the sponsor, the Vodafone on Dortmund's kit. I'm sorry. You know, that's close to me. You know? You know, that's it does something to me.
We not sucking corporation dick on this. We're not,
but you got to understand where I'm coming from. You know, I need something from being a United fan, you know, anything.
Honestly, I didn't realize Vodafone were still a thing.
Me neither.
That's wild to me, man. But yeah. Maybe it does look good on a shirt. Oh, that logo is a nice logo. Like any circular logo on a soccer jersey is good. Yeah. That is my belief.
Yeah. You know? Shout out to JVC.
Shout out to the SPS badge. Shout out to the United badge behind Tosin. See those? They're circular. That's why they look so good. Because the ball is round. It's not a shield. Yeah.
Earth is not flat, by the way.
What?
I said the Earth is not flat.
Nah, you're going to have to clear that one with Kyrie, bro. Come on.
But yeah, the South Africans got an early lead. Joe Bellum got his first goal, which was, again, I don't know what they're doing in that family, man. Like, They just created two players in the lab. That's all I can say. They just made two people in the lab. That's all.
I don't know, man. You call it a lab. I just call it like a hospital in Birmingham. But, you know, whatever. What do you think about the fact that Job decided to follow his brother's path and go to Dortmund? I kind of felt like he probably should have gone to Frankfurt instead. It feels like that's where the young hot boys was at, you know? Like, you know, they got Champions League football. They got Ekitike. They got Larson in midfield. They got Knauf, and it's like, it's a good team. I feel like he would have fit in right really nicely there.
He would have, but I also believe in Jude's mom. She has the game plan down, so you know.
I guess. I mean, I've never trusted a Jamaican woman, but I also have never played for Real Madrid, so there's that.
Hey, listen, shout out to Jamaican women. But it is hot as fuck. That is one thing we can say about this tournament. It is hot as shit. Extremely hot.
Yeah, the Dortmund bench was actually in the locker rooms during this game. They didn't even sit there. Like, if we're not playing, why should we just sit here and suffer? I rate it.
Gio Reyna probably is the one who did that shit. LAFC lost to Esperanza 1-0. Dennis Bouwanga missed the penalty towards the end.
Terrible tournament for him. Terrible tournament. I think he missed some really good chances in the prior games as well. And, you know, once you lose, if you lose two games in the group stage, you're probably out. And yeah. LAFC are out.
Porto lost to Inter Miami 2-1, which is hilarious. Because Inter Miami, the most least athletic team since I've seen Man United play. They are not athletic at all.
It's like when you go to the YMCA and there's a bunch of old niggas playing. And they play against the young niggas, and the old niggas whooping with all that fucking doopsie-doo Bob Cousy shit. That's exactly what the fuck happened here, man. Like, Porto even, I think, didn't they take the lead in this game?
Yes.
Shameful.
And Messi won it with a free kick.
Yeah, beautiful free kick. Beautiful, not as good as John Arias's, but nice free kick. But the moment of the game for me, Arsenal player on loan to Porto, Fabio Vieira, nutmegged Messi, then promptly kicked the ball out of bounds. Like a fucking idiot, you know. But you know what? He nutmegged Messi. And Messi acknowledged it. They dapped each other up right after the game, right after it happened, you know. So for me, in my mind, this game was actually 2-2.
Okay. River Plate versus Monterrey. This wasn't football. This wasn't violence. I don't know what it was.
Bro, I enjoyed it in a perverse way, put it that way. But it was a waste of 90 minutes of my life. It was just... Yeah, the passing was bad. The tackling was worse. And it was really funny because these are two... I mean, Mexico is not South America, but they're close enough. The ref was European. I think it was Slavko Vincic, who did some of the big Champions League games this year, this season. And it was almost like he was the one that didn't fit into the game because he was just booking everybody. And rightly so, because these were terrible tackles. But you almost thought to yourself, you know what? We needed like an Argentinian referee for this game. You know, yeah. Just someone that knows the vibes, that knows how to manage this sort of violence properly. Because Slavko was just like, I ain't with the bullshit, man. Here's a yellow for you. Here's a yellow for you. And the best player in the game got a red card. You know, so it was just garbage. Sergio Ramos was terrible, bro. Terrible. Now I know why he's in Mexico. Like, because you're not going to let him play nowhere else that's serious.
Do you know he offered himself to Real Madrid last year and they said, fuck out of here.
Nah, man. We'd rather play Chouameni's broken leg there before we call you back. He's bad now, bro. He can't even complete a five-yard pass to a teammate.
He's doing side missions. I knew he wasn't serious when he went there and he wore number 93. I'm like, okay, I know exactly what you are.
Is that like his birth year or some shit? Or?
That's when he scored the Champions League goal.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And he's wearing Mizuno's, so I just know he's not taking this shit seriously.
Well, if he's wearing Mizuno's, then any slander that I've said before now,
yeah,
canceled.
Stops. Okay.
Shout out niggas and Mizuno's.
Yeah.
Those are the real ones.
Like Rivaldo. Benfica beat Auckland City 6-0. Auckland City literally just came to America just to tour. There's no, they didn't come here for anything else. They got slapped around. So
this is their side job. Like, these guys have actual real jobs that they need to get back to, so they decided to leave early. I respect it.
Yeah. Korkku, Orkan Korkku, right? Him and the coach got into it.
It's weird, man. I don't particularly know why. Like, you're getting subbed off in a tournament that you probably don't want to even be playing in, to be honest. Like, take the break, bro. It's hot outside. Go sit on the bench. Nope, he got mad about it, you know, but whatever.
Yeah.
He's like that. He gets into shit all the time.
Today, PSG beat Seattle Sounders 2-0. I mean, it's the coolest city in the tournament so far. Nice, balmy 68 degrees in Seattle. So, didn't really have to sweat too much.
Yeah, that probably explains why Lucho was in a good mood again. And he complimented Sounders. He said they were definitely on the level. You know, I mean, they didn't score. But they're definitely on the level against PSG. And, you know, I mean, you know, moral victories are still losses at the end of the day. But, I mean, you'd expect PSG to do a little bit better than 2-0 against Seattle Sounders. So, credit to them. Credit to them. Hakimi and Kvaratskhelia scored the goals in this one.
Kvaratskhelia didn't even know what he scored, by the way.
Yeah. Wasn't it a Vitinha shot that deflected off him or something like that?
He was trying to duck out the way for the shot and hit his back.
Hey, man. When it's your year, it's your year.
It happens like that. There are more games tonight. So by the time you guys hear this, the games had already been done. But Porto plays against Dean's favorite team from Egypt. And Inter plays against Palmeiras. So there you go. Hmm.
I will be watching Inter Palmeiras. I'll put that on in the background while I do more important shit.
We got some random notes for you. Santi Cazorla, 40 years old. Jonathan Lowe, he's excited about this. Real Oviedo are back in La Liga. And the 40-year-old Santi Cazorla did it. 3-1 win over Mirandes, the first time in 24 years since they've been back. And we love beautiful stories. That's why we bring that up.
Yeah, very pleased. I mean, there was a point. We didn't even get, as Arsenal fans, we didn't even get to say goodbye to Santi Cazorla. He was injured for so long and he had such a bad injury that we thought his career was done. So for him to have spent another decade since then just playing at various levels has been very impressive. And I'm just so happy for him and his club that they, you know, managed to get back to La Liga. But I do wonder, I guess he'll probably do something goofy like sit on the bench for them next season in La Liga. But honestly, bro, after what you survived and given the fact that you're 40 damn years old and you're in the top, that arguably maybe the second best league in the world, maybe the best by some people's estimation, you got to start thinking about the future, my nigga. Like, you know, you got kids you need to raise, you know, like, so maybe it's time to go home and be a family man. But if you don't want to do that, we'll be happy to watch you take corners with your left and right foot, you know. So yeah. Shout out Real Oviedo.
Marcus Rashford said that one day he wants to play with Lamine Yamal. He was like begging, basically, please take me, anybody, but Barcelona specifically. Man. He even said he wants to play number 9. That's how I know he's desperate.
I like that he has the self-awareness to realize that he won't be playing on the wing at Barcelona. Yeah. So I'll give him that. But you know what I really want? I've been wanting this for like 30 years. I want to eat Halle Berry's ass. And it's not going to happen. So deal with it, Marcus. Deal with it. We all got dreams that don't come true sometimes.
You know what Halle Berry and how online she is? You probably hear this.
If she does, I'm serious, Halle. I know that's not nothing impressive to you. You've been famous for a long time. I know you done seen some shit I'm never going to see, but fuck with your boy.
I love you too, Halle. Confirmations. We got some transfer confirmations. Florian Wirtz is officially a Liverpool player, and Zubi Zubi Zoo is officially an Arsenal player as well. So, 2 new official transfers for you guys. Yes. So, any thoughts, opinion on the two? Or?
I can only credit Liverpool for securing the best player in the market this summer. Easily, the best player. And I think they got him at a good price too, because initially Leverkusen were talking 150. I think they ended up closing the deal at 100 with 16 in add-ons. That's not bad. Yeah. You know, so, and I can't say I'm looking forward to watching him play because he plays for Liverpool, but that's a good pickup right there. As for Zubimendi, again, Liverpool wanted him last season. We thought they were going to get him. He backed out at the last moment. There's been a lot of rumors about Real Madrid potentially stepping in, especially now that they have his idol at their club as their manager, Xabi Alonso. But he decided to keep his word. He's sticking with Arsenal. And I know everyone talks about the striker situation, you know, because that's what people think is what Arsenal is missing to make that step to the next level. But if I'm being completely frank with you, for me, as an aesthetic fan of the game, the most exciting transfer to me by far would be the Zubimendi thing. My favorite players in the game are the pivots. And for me, he's right there. I mean, he literally came in for Rodri in the final of the Euros and Spain didn't miss a beat. If anything, they got better. You know, so that says a lot. And I'm just very excited to watch him bed into Arsenal and really start dominating the midfield, really start, you know, being the playmaker in that midfield. Because the guy we have there now, he's had some good years. He's had some good periods, but it's time to go, bro. It's time to go. Head off to Saudi or Turkey or some shit. Get the fuck out.
One thing I want to say about you, you're a nerd for you loving pivots, but I love it. Absolutely love it. Because some of us have to figure out what we love. And you loving the pivot is beautiful. Shout out to you.
I'm a pivot guy. I was a pivot my damn self before the knees went. So love it.
Okay. We got some rumors. Gundogan apparently is going to Galatasaray.
You know what? There was an update I saw today that he said he wants to see his contract out at City. So he has 1 year left, so he's probably going to see that out.
He saw Shirky doing kickouts. He's like, I like that. He bit his lip a little bit. I like that. I respect it. Hakan Çalhanoğlu apparently is going back to Turkey.
He's trying. They keep Lobo. Well, Inter are very unserious. They're trying to get 40 million for him. Like, come the fuck on, guys. Like, really? 40 million for Hakan Çalhanoğlu?
Make it 15 and shut up.
Seriously. Let's be serious. Serie A teams, man, they always be lowballing everybody, man, and high trying to... Motherfuckers.
Darwin Nunez apparently going to Napoli. Jack Grealish is also linked there as well.
That those are both good fits because they both have long hair.
Juventus and a few other teams looking at Jadon Sancho. Fenerbahce was another one I saw.
What are they looking at?
Listen, I know
not good, man. He needs to be for Trinidad and Tobago. Come help them in Gold Cup.
Someone was saying, why is Sancho not trying to like lower his wage? And I said, he's dating Saweetie.
Bruh, like, forget his dating proclivities. Like, this contract is currently on right now. Is the biggest contract he will ever be on in his career. Absolutely. So he's not letting a single kobo, a single dime go. You know, make all that money, Jaden, because that next contract, that shit is coming down.
What did Young Thug say again? Something, this is my lifestyle. That's what he wants to keep up.
Nobody knows what he said. If we knew what he said, he'd be in jail. Nobody knows.
Xhaka is getting close to Milan. How do you feel about that?
I think he'll kill it in Syria.
Here's my thing, right? I love it, but these teams aren't serious in Italy. This is why they have struggled with the national team. Why are you bringing in Granit Xhaka and Luka Modric? You don't have any Primavera players? Like, what's going on here?
I don't know what to tell you. You know, like, put it this way, bro. Like, Italy have missed the last two World Cups? Three World Cups? Haven't gotten out of the group stage since they won it in 2006. And I got to tell you, bro, I don't miss them. I don't miss Italy. They used to be my favorite national team when I was a kid. And I don't really miss them, you know, because they neither. Just don't, they're not really bringing it like that, you know. So if they want to keep fucking around, then that's fine by me. It's a shame that someone like Bastoni or like a Calafiori or a Barella will not have a moment in a big tournament. But this is what the people in charge of things in that country are doing. So this is the result, you know. So it goes.
They cook at the pasta and they cook at the national team.
they spill at the pasta on the floor now.
Mayan's not going to Chelsea. I knew it was going to happen because he's black.
Yeah, they called him a nigger during negotiations. Said, okay, pass.
We don't think that happened, but it's Chelsea, so you can never know.
I know what happened. I don't think it. I know what happened, nigga. I was swearing that shit.
I was there.
Yes, I was there.
Mark Gahey's prepared to stay at Crystal Palace. They got a new owner today, which is the most insane name they posted today. It was like Robert Woody Johnson. Like, there's a whole bunch of dicks in the name. I was like, yo, chill out.
Just mad volcanic shit, man. Just very lava splashy.
Like, I know it's Pride Month, but they were going too far with the dicks. It was like, yo.
And he owns the Jets as well. Another phallic shaped object. Just dicks everywhere, man. Just ugh. Whatever.
Disgusted. Got two Man United rumors. Casemiro apparently is leaving, going to Al Hilal. I love that for me because he is making a ton of money. And uncle, you're 33 years old. Please,
that is shameful. Like, now that he's gone, though, like, rehire like five lunch ladies or some shit, which saddens me because all I want in Manchester is tears and the gnashing of teeth, just unemployment everywhere. Fuck that city.
Oh man, there was a fire in Manchester today, actually, in the building.
Word.
Yeah, a building burned down.
I'm pretty sure it was Kevin De Bruyne.
He's in Italy, bro.
I was there. I saw him do it.
Okay, and then United put another bid in for Mbeumo, 60 million apparently.
How much does Brentford want?
They wanted 60 mil plus. Yeah, so it looks like it's going to get done. I knew the deal was kind of done when I saw Brentford post the other day all of his goals, and I was like, oh.
Usually that's a sign that a club is ready to take the money. It's like, yeah. Okay. Like, yeah. It's been fun, bro. Here's all the stuff you did for us. Now fuck off and give us the money.
I can't believe I'm about to have a bald Cameroonian at my club.
Yeah, you've never had a bald one. You've just had a bunch of them. Just no bald ones.
Yeah, well, the one we have right now in goal is a hard R, but that's neither here nor there.
Hey, man, just play him in his natural position, left wing, okay?
We saw the clip, man.
He was moving on that wing, man. He was zooming on that wing, man.
Andre Nana swears he's not a goalkeeper. He plays every position but goalkeeper.
Hey, man, pop that boy in the left wing. Give Bayinder that number one shirt, man. Let's go.
Let's not do that.
Okay. You're not going to let me have no fun, huh?
That's no. Crazy. We could have Tom Heaton and go instead, if you like that. Academy graduate. Oh, Johnny Evans got a new job.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. I did see that. I guess.
Yeah, he's guiding the Academy kids and trying to, and he's basically coaching them. They made up a, they, when people like you, they'll make up dog for you.
Yeah, I like that he's employed, put it that way.
Yeah.
Johnny Evans deserves a job. How about that?
Yeah. Anything else you want to add, Dean, before we get out of here?
Hey, man, I'm just so glad that you guys aren't playing Johnny Evans still, you know, because the last time I saw him, I thought that nigga was going to tear his Achilles, you know, so I'm glad, you know, like, stay home and be a family man and do your little fake job or whatever. But thanks for rocking with us. I mean, you can clearly tell that we kind of don't want to be doing this right now.
It is hot as shit in New York.
But we love you so much, and it's hot enough for us to be inside. So since we're inside, we're like, let's record a pod. So here's your pod, people. So thanks for rocking with us.
We're out,
Joe. Like, share, subscribe, all that good shit. Love y'all.
Take it easy, everyone. Peace.
Peace. My plans is you.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.